the late 80s, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the podcast Pat Trek. My continuing mission to introduce my friend Patrick to the best show that ever ran on television, and to boldly go where millions of white guys with glasses have gone before.
Hello and welcome to Pat Trek. This is the show where my friend, Pat O'Rourke, introduces me, Patrick Winninger, to Star Trek The Next Generation, a show that I've never seen.
And I have seen a ton of times. And Patrick, are those flowers for me?
Oh, these horrible-smelling, rotten plants that I picked up outside your apartment?
You know, that is what those flowers look like.
Yeah, they look
in
horrible.
That scene. I mean, I'm jumping way ahead here, yeah. But they're in a botanical garden, and Damon Tong shows up, and he's got these, like, dead weeds in his hands.
Well, it's like what the Ferengi like.
Oh, yeah, I guess that's true.
Yeah.
A lot of Ferengi lore in this episode.
A little bit, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And we're talking about Menage a Troy.
Menage a Troy? Well, do you want to do the fun fact, or should
I
do Patrick's
line? Yeah, I got a fun fact.
Okay, let's hear it.
Okay. Do you remember that character from Voyager that I absolutely hate?
Treelix or something? I don't.
Neelix?
Dude, I've never seen Voyager.
Yeah, and you're better for it. Oh, I'm sorry to all you Voyager fans out there. But yeah, Neelix.
Okay.
Sucks. Hate him.
Yeah, I know you do.
This episode gave me shudders because Ethan Phillips plays Neelix. And he also plays one of the Ferengi in this.
That Ferengi was not named.
No, he was Dr.
Something.
Dr. Ferrick.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
So different Ferengi.
Yes. A Ferengi. Well, no, because Neelix isn't a Ferengi.
Oh, he's not?
No, he's just an annoying-ass character.
Just some guy.
Yeah.
Oh.
I guess he's better as a Ferengi because you're supposed to hate him.
Oh, okay.
But
yeah,
he
I hated
exact
him in this
same.
Show.
Yeah, it just gave me the shakes and some PTSD.
You visibly recoiled when this
guy
came on the screen.
I did, and I was like, oh my God, it's Neelix.
Yeah. Well, I have a Patrick's log, and this one is actually kind of fun. I know we've done a lot of really dark ones the past couple weeks. This is another music one. I found a pop music review May 28th, 1990, when Menage a Troy came out. Milli Vanilli play acting in the Orange County Sun.
You know, this is kind of dark, and I'll tell you why in a moment, but keep going.
Okay, so just a couple lines from this review. There's nothing like vanquishing evil to start a show. And so, pop phenomenon Milli Vanilli's set on Saturday at Irvine Meadows Amphitheater began with a pair of hooded ninja warriors taking to the stage, brandishing swords at the audience in a vaguely menacing manner, only to be confronted by the two Millies, Rob Pilatus and Fab Morvan, both men of the sword, it turns out, as well. And it goes on through this, like, huge choreographed set that they had.
Well, because they weren't actually singing.
Well, so at the end, he's like, you know, I'm pretty sure that this was all taped. That's weird.
Why,
seems like someone should do something about that.
Because the choreography was just so
good. Because the choreography was so good. And in 1988, there was an incident where their record skipped.
Oh, right.
In the middle of a performance. But what they always maintained is we actually do sing the songs. It's just that it's pre-recorded during our live sets because there's so much choreography.
Mm.
About 4 months after this would air, it would be revealed right after they won a Grammy. No, they did not actually sing those songs. It was like four other people sang the songs and recorded them for them. They pretty much just did the dancing and stuff and had to give up their Grammys.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know why this is dark?
Why is that?
One of those guys killed themselves.
Holy shit.
Yeah. It was either Milli or Vanilli. I don't remember which
God,
one.
I didn't know that.
I don't know if that's how their names go,
man,
either.
I was trying to do a nice, lighthearted Patrick Slug.
No, dude. One of those guys.
And it ends in a fucking
depression.
Suicide. God
Sorry for
damn
laughing.
It. Yeah, but every time I do one of these, it's like something horrible that happened.
Yeah.
And I was trying to do something that I thought was kind of funny. I'm sorry.
The Milli Vanilli story is super dark, man.
I didn't know it had
this,
that ending.
After this, they both go into, like, drug addiction.
Oh, fuck,
and
no!
Yeah, and then one of them has this depression he can't shake.
God
and, yeah,
damn it.
It ruined their lives. Think about it. They became pariahs, like people you couldn't even talk about.
Shit.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I don't know that if that's quite as dark as the New Kids on the Block piece
That one was pretty dark. Well, damn it. Well, sorry for bringing everybody down again. I guess let's talk about Star Trek.
Oh, yeah, let's bring them back up. You got to bring them down to bring them up.
So, as we said, this is Menage a Troi. Starts off with one of those many diplomatic missions that the Enterprise is always doing. They're like hosting some kind of party for a bunch of different alien species. Everyone's intent forward. There's some guy like playing a bone piano or something.
That's pretty funny.
It is pretty funny. And I pointed out while we were watching this, he's playing something that sounds like the Civilization 2 theme.
It's like boop, 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 boop. Beep, boop, boop, boop,
boop, boop, boop, boop, boop. I just like going on the entire time in the background.
Well, TNG is known for its stark soundtrack.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Riker is playing three-dimensional chess against some guy named Nibor, and the Ferengi loses. It's this Ferengi guy. And he's like, he blames the bone chimes for it. We hear and then see Luoxana Troi. She is on the ship. She's like talking to her daughter, Deanna, and she's trying to like talk with her telepathy thing. And Deanna's like, no, stop that. And it's just basically Luoxana Troi bugging her daughter to settle down and get married.
Yeah, she does that a lot in this episode.
Yeah, it's really irritating.
Yeah, I agree.
And of course, like any child, and I assume especially women have to deal with this a lot of like, managing expectations of older generations when it's just like Deanna is trying to tell her, look, I'm happy with my job living on this ship. You don't believe me. Just stop doing that.
And this must have been a commentary on women in the 90s.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Murphy Brown was on TV.
Murphy Brown. All stuff I can speak to confidently.
Yeah. So, Deanna's got to deal with that. And then there's one part where, like, Riker comes by and
looking handsome.
Yeah, Luoxana Troi's like nod over to Deanna. Deanna takes Riker aside and basically is explaining.
Well, she tells Deanna in the scene too that she blew it with Riker.
Right.
She could have had him, but she screwed it up.
Yeah.
And Deanna's like, no, we've become great friends, which I want to talk about what great friends means based on the later scene.
Right.
We are in this very free future, which is great. But Luoxana is blaming Deanna for the Riker thing not working out, which we don't really know many details about.
Don't know anything about that.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, Deanna just tries to get away from her mom.
Mm-hmm.
And then Luoxana sees Picard, who she's in love with, remember?
Yes.
And she tries to, like, corner him, and he comes up with some lame excuse. He's like, yeah, I gotta show my friends some elevators.
Well, that's because Damon Togg came over to her.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so Damon Togg comes up to her and calls her exquisite.
Yeah.
And would pay. This is where some of the lore comes in of Ferengi, but would happily pay her to... for her to escort him around.
Yeah, and she just shuts him down.
No, she's not having that. Don't you know who she is?
Yeah, Damon Togg is, like, infatuated with Luoxana Troi, thinks that she's exotic and all this stuff, and she just, like, is like, no, even if I were into the idea of being bought, which I'm not, that's weird.
Not for Ferengi.
Yeah, but for her and pretty much everybody else. She's like, I wouldn't even do that, like, that just go away. And he it only turns him on more because he's a super creep. But I did like that part where Picard just freezes when he's trying to think of an excuse.
Oh, yeah.
And the immediate thing he goes to is like, oh, I got to show my friend the turbo lift.
Elevator nerd.
Yeah, he's one of those elevator nerds. He's got like, a whole bunch of videos on YouTube.
Yeah.
Where he goes in and presses all the buttons.
Yeah, he's poking around in the turbo lift, wondering how it works.
Yeah, anyway, he's one of those people, so...
Gotta go.
Gotta go. In a corridor, Deanna's talking to Worf, and she's trying to get information about this Togg guy, and, like, when they're leaving, and they're like, yeah, they're getting out of here. Don't worry about that.
Yeah, I'll be good.
Yeah, by the way, your mom handled herself really well. That was awesome to see her just shut that guy down.
Like a warrior.
Right, yeah. Worf is very impressed by this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Worf is cool.
Worf is awesome.
He calls her an admirable woman.
So, he's barely in this episode, though.
No, barely, yeah. That's, like, the only thing he says, except for, like, counting down some things later. And Deanna's like, you know what, I'll tell her that you said that. And she goes to see her mom. She's in her quarters, and she's trying to, like, meditate. get this Damon Togg guy out of her head. And it comes to this argument where, you know, she's trying to get Deanna Troi to go back to Beta Zed and settle down and get married and have a family and all this stuff. And that's just not what Deanna Troi wants.
The Enterprise is her family.
Yeah. And she's like, I have fulfillment, you know, doing my job. She's like, well, I'm sure it's fulfilling in some way. She's just real condescending about it. She calls her little one at one point.
Well, she calls her little one. We've known that as her nickname throughout all the episodes that we've seen her. And Deanna Troi, this is the first time she's pushed back on that.
She gets
nickname.
Really pissed. Yeah. She's like, no, I'm Deanna.
I'm an adult woman, Mom!
Right.
It's kind of how
it's the 90s. You know.
I don't gotta have a baby.
Right.
Yeah.
And she doesn't. She can
not at all.
Do whatever she wants.
It's the far future. I'm sure she can have a baby literally whenever she wants.
But this is where Luxana blames Deanna for messing it up with Riker.
Oh, it's in this scene.
Oops. Right. And it's just like, you don't know what happened. None of us know what happened.
No, also, you can't chain Riker down.
Yeah.
The ladies love him. They just keep coming to him and that, man.
Even if he gains a little weight, you know, he just grows a beard. He's
grows
still
a beard to cover his pudgy face. Yeah.
But yeah, she storms
out of
the room.
Even if he has to get some hair plugs.
Yeah.
That's right.
You know,
the ladies still
love
him.
All right.
Look at those baby blues.
So she storms out. And back in the ready room, there's Data, Geordi, Wesley Crusher is there, Riker, and Picard are sitting down drinking some tea, and they're talking about like some repairs that they've done to the ship, and the whole point of this is like, yeah, Wesley did a great job.
They really shoehorn in Wesley's story in this episode.
Yeah, I didn't really like this B-plot.
No.
But yeah, they're talking about how this is a segue to talk about the exam for the Academy. So Wesley passed the written exam, and Riker brings up, yeah, so I'm going to take you to the Bradbury, the ship that's going to take you to do your oral. And once you do that, you're going to be in the Academy. So good job. Way to go. And
he should kill it because he's already been through it.
Right.
Before.
The oral exam is apparently the super easy part.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he already went through that test where they tricked him into thinking that someone died and they did like the really messed up psychological torture part.
Yeah.
So yeah, he should handle this pretty well. And Riker is given shore leave in this part.
Yes. Well, Picard was like, Deanna was smart enough to ask for it, but I'm going to make you go. Again, so Picard... He's setting him up with Deanna.
Right.
Good friends.
Yeah.
The captain knows how good of friends you are. Well, I want to know what that term means.
Well, you know, Riker made him get that boner statue or whatever. On the sex planet.
He's returning the favor.
He's just returning the favor, exactly.
Oh, my God. They're each other's wingmen.
They're wingmen.
Sometimes you just got to get down,
yeah.
You know?
So they're down on Beta Zed, Deanna and Riker, and they're walking through, like, this botanical garden. They're holding hands, and they're reminiscing about old times.
When they used to date,
and they kiss. I think this is kind of indicative of, like, the free love future that they have in Star Trek, because it is not established that they're in a relationship, nor do they really care to be in one. But they're still, like, physically affectionate with each other.
I think what this shows is that periodically, throughout, even when we don't see them, or they're not featured in the main story, they're hooking up.
Probably.
Right? They just, from time to time...
They're on again, off again.
Yeah. They're very friendly with each other, and since it's free love future, and there's no jealousy or anything, they'll kind of pass in and out of hooking up. The thing is, there's many times we've seen Riker hooking up with other women.
Right.
And Deanna Troi's watching and smiling, like, Ma, I know that hornball.
Right.
So we know there's no jealousy between them, but we definitely now know that they hook up. We've never seen it before. We knew they had a sort of chemistry together.
So we're seeing something that isn't new. This is probably just, like, background noise.
To everybody else.
Yeah.
But we've never seen it before.
Okay.
Have you ever seen them kiss?
I don't think so.
No. But everybody else kind of knew that
they just knew that they went out at one point.
Right.
Okay.
But now that leads me to believe that throughout every season...
I don't see why they wouldn't.
They've been hooking up.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, it makes sense.
Yeah.
But
it gets lonely on the ship.
Yeah. What are you going to do?
You can't
hook
up in the holodeck all the time.
Yeah. You got to, you know, clean that thing out sometimes. Also, anyone can walk in there, as we have learned.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it's interrupted, though.
Yes.
Because we hear Luxana Troi having a picnic. Mr. Hom is there. You know,
our old friend,
Mr. Hom, and they were not expecting to see her. And Loxana is trying to say, like, oh, well, I can leave and give you some privacy. Ooh. And
but she crashed the party.
At one point, she gives Riker this leaf to eat and is talking about how the sap is really good. And you explain this because it felt like a joke that they were trying to make that wasn't landing. And you were like, yeah, Gene Roddenberry wrote that scene. Initially, it was a phallus-shaped plant.
Right.
And the writers took it out.
Yeah, exactly. But they've left in the lines.
But they left in all of the lines.
So they make a lot of comments about veins and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're kind of, penis jokes.
Right. And sexual innuendo. It's with a kale leaf.
Yeah. So it just seems kind of weird.
Yeah, just edit that part out.
Well, yeah, and it's Riker at one point hands it to Deanna Troi.
It's like, maybe you'd like it.
Yeah.
It's like, it's a leaf.
With warm veins, I think it was the line. Yeah.
Yeah, whatever.
I don't know. Ended up being a really weird scene.
Yep.
Yeah.
But this is interrupted by Damon Togg.
With horrible-looking flowers.
Yeah, he beams down with these rotten flowers, and he's like, oh, Loxana, you're so great. And, you know, how about you come with me, and, you know, we're going to be very wealthy, and it's going to be great. She is not interested at all. And then he's like, well... Oh, she sent Mr. Hom out to collect berries at this point.
Yeah, right before Damon Togg.
Right before this happens.
Yeah.
And then Damon Togg is like, well, then I'll just take you with me. Four to beam up.
Yep.
And he kidnaps all of them.
So why did he take Riker?
See, I don't know.
Why take him?
Why? You could just leave him there. Well, he would tell, I guess. He would give away the position.
Oh, okay, fair.
Yeah.
All right. Smart move, Ferengi.
Right.
I would have left Riker because I would want to deal with him on my ship.
You know, I mean, I would think... If I were on the ship, it'd be like, oh, Loxana Troi got kidnapped. Who was the creepy guy that was fawning all over her? Oh, yeah, he probably did it. No one really made that connection until like halfway through.
Well, we needed Data to do it.
Yeah. Well, when they wake up, Riker wakes up in this jail cell, you know, one of those force field things. He's there, and Troi is there, and Loxana is there. And there's these two guys playing three-dimensional chess, two Ferengi guys. Outside their cell. And they're arguing with each other and fighting over it. And at one point, one guy just, like, beats him and he leaves.
Oh, yeah.
And it's while, like, Riker's taunting him.
Well, it's so funny, too, because the other guy wins, drops the mic, and walks
out. Just walks out.
There's no sort of, like, booyah, I won, or,
well,
like...
Yeah, they would have had to pay him more if he had a line. It's important because it's the same guy that played chess against Riker at the beginning.
Right.
Nibor.
And Riker says to him... Well, as I recall, I beat you in 30 moves.
Right, yeah.
And Nibor said, yeah, because you got lucky. And Riker says, no, I was going easy on you. I could have done it in 20.
Yeah, so there's going to be like this rivalry between this guard and Riker because they know each other.
They have a vendetta.
They've got
a three-dimensional chess
they
vendetta.
They got a three-dimensional chess vendetta, yeah. But this scene doesn't last long because then... Deanna Troi and Loxana Troi are transported again onto the bridge, and they're transported without their clothes.
Yeah, they're naked.
Yeah, but it's really like a kind of awkward scene because the Ferengi treat women really terribly, right?
Ferengi women, the reason you don't see them is because they don't leave the planet.
Okay.
Frangar, whatever I'm not remembering the name right now, but, and they're always naked.
Oh, okay.
They're property. Possessions of the Ferengi.
And that's what the doctor Ferengi comes in. He, like, looks at them with revulsion, and he's like, you females, first of all, you know these guys are pieces of shit because they call women females. They're like, females don't deserve the honor of clothing.
Yes.
Like, it's like, oh my God.
Well, I think within their culture, and this is getting a little ahead of us, but they, you put on clothing when you're going to go do business and commerce. And females don't participate in that. So
oh,
they don't
okay. So, but they find like some bed sheets or something and wear that. And they're like, look, it's cold. Just let us wear clothes. Come on. And then Togg comes in. He's like, oh, the doctor doesn't understand. You know, he hasn't dealt with Beta Zed women. I have, though. And Loxana, you're so great. And if you join me in business, like he wants to use her telepathy. Mm-hmm. Which, by the way, they cannot read Ferengi minds.
No.
Because their skulls are weird.
Yes.
So that is important for this episode. I forgot mm-hmm. to mention that. Mm-hmm. But he's like, if you use your telepathy and my business acumen, we can make a lot of money.
See, and for a Ferengi, this is love.
Yeah. It is not love for pretty much any other culture.
No, but for them, this is his expression of love.
Everything is a transaction.
Yes.
Right.
That's what I love about their culture.
Mm-hmm.
It's very fun to see even things that are emotionally driven
are still a transaction.
Are still a transaction.
Yeah. But Luxana is not interested.
No way.
Outwardly, though, she begins to set a trap to seduce him.
Yes.
And she lets Deanna know, like, hey,
through mind speak,
through telepathy, I think I can get him to do what I want and get us out of here. Just follow my lead. I'm going to get you back into the cell, which, you know, she convinces them to send Deanna back to Riker's cell. And she's like, I will take the lead on this. And then, Tog leads Luxana to his bedroom.
Yeah, right away.
Just immediately.
Immediately to the bed.
Yeah. Mm. Creepy. What a creepy dude.
Yes.
Back on the Enterprise, Wesley is talking to Data and Geordi. They're in the engineering thing, and they're just talking about, like, the test, and Data's like, yeah, it's really great you passed the written test. That's the hardest part. You know, it's going to be smooth sailing from here on out, and way to go. And they're talking about how they're going to miss him. And he's like, wait, I'm only going to be gone for a little while. I'm, you know, going to go to the academy, and then I'll come back to the Enterprise. And then Data points out, you know, 91% of new graduates, they don't get put on a Galaxy-class vessel.
Mm-mm.
They're going to go to some other ship. And Wesley's like, oh.
Things change?
I didn't think about that.
Yeah.
I didn't know things change. I'm 15 years old.
No, it's always been the same.
Right, and Geordi's like, look, man, you're going to go there. You're going to have the time of your life. You're going to make some friends your own age. You're not going to be friends with a 40-year-old man and a robot. It's going to be great.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, well, I'm sure Picard is going to put out a request to put me back in the Enterprise. And they're like, well, yeah, that's if Picard is still in command of the Enterprise in 4 years.
Wait,
you know?
Huh?
I didn't think about that.
So, I'm just a kid.
Yeah, Wesley's having a little crisis.
Ugh.
Back in the actual crisis, on the Ferengi ship, Riker is, like, trying to mess with his guard.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the part where he's, like, taunting him for, like, he's like, you're going to lose. If you do that, you're going to lose. You're going to lose this guy. And this is where Nibor loses. And Nibor's pissed. And he's like, well, I guess you could do better. He's like, yeah, I could do better. I did do better. I beat you. You remember? On 10 forward? And he's like, oh, well, the music was, he's like, well, how about a rematch? I'll play from in here. You know, and they do that, like, chess by mail thing for a little while.
Which we learn a little bit about 3D chess, where each level is the king's level and the queen's level.
Yeah.
Which I didn't know that.
So, yeah, they start to play chess there. And back in Tog's bedroom, Luxana is, like, flattering him, and she's talking about all of her past boyfriends. And Tog is like, I don't want to hear about that. So she's like doing her best to get past her own physical and emotional revulsion to lure this guy into a trap. And she, like, rubs his ears.
Oh, God.
And he's like, oh, this is the best ukus or something. And she's like, "What? I don't know what that is." And he's like, the ears are the most erotic zone. Like, oh, my God.
He's basically giving him an HJ.
Jesus. Poor Luxana. I mean, really, like, she didn't ask for this shit.
No way.
She didn't want to have to do any of this. Like, this is, she's basically being sexually assaulted this whole time by this creep. Like,
she is. There's nothing basic about it. She absolutely
is. Right, she absolutely is. I mean, she's just trying to.
She's a sex slave.
Yeah, she's trying to do what she has to do or what she feels she has to do to get out of the situation. Yeah. It's really shitty.
It is really shitty. I would say this, though. She is in control.
Oh, the whole time.
The whole time.
Yeah, I mean, because this guy's an idiot.
Yeah, I mean, she's smarter and craftier, but the situation she's in is the worst.
Yeah. Back in the Enterprise, Picard is taking the ship past this nebula. And this is important because it like, interrupts their communications for a couple days. And finally, they get a message from this Betazoid guy that they were talking to at the beginning. And he's like, hey, Picard, thank God. I've been trying to reach you for 2 days. Riker, Troy, Luxana, they're all gone. We don't know what happened. So they're like, oh, shit. I didn't even think about that.
Oh, God.
So
bad stuff happens to my crew when we're not around?
Right.
That only happens every time.
So now they got to turn the ship around. They got to go back to Beta Zed and figure out what happened. On the Ferengi ship, Riker is pretending to not be interested in the game.
Right, when the guy gets him in check.
Right. And he's like, I can't even see the board. It's not worth playing. And Nibor is like, he really wants to beat Riker.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't want him to forfeit. He's like, well, if you forfeit, then I win. He's like, yeah, I guess. I don't care. He's like, well, come out here and play me.
Yeah.
Riker basically gets him so mad to the point where he lets him out
right
to play chess against him.
And I love the cutscene they did.
And
here.
He defeats him in chess and then knocks his ass out.
Right.
At the same time.
Yep. It's so great.
And then you pointed out, like, he goes to the console.
Yes.
And everything is in Ferengi.
Yes.
And he knows how to read it.
How? We just met the Ferengi 2 seasons ago.
Well, I mean, he must have learned their language.
That's a smart-ass dude.
Yeah.
Jeez. Learned a whole new language.
An alien language, a whole new writing system. He knows how to use their computers. That's the other thing.
In 2 years when he's been busy doing other stuff, too.
Yeah. Nope. He apparently can read Ferengi now.
Yeah. I mean, he was just cruising all over that computer.
It doesn't really help him, though, because everything is blocked by mm-hmm. Tog's access code. So Troy is, like, trying to telepathically get to her mom, saying, hey, could you get this code?
We broke out of the cell. We just need the code.
Right. She's got Tog pretty much where she wants him. And she says, like, oh, hey, could you make an Arcturian fizz? Can your replicator do that? And he's like, no, I've never heard of that. Well, you know, it's a like an aphrodisiac.
Yeah.
You'd like that, right?
You pour it in your ear.
Yeah. So how about you give me the access code to the computer, and I'll teach your replicator how to make that drink. And he's like, yeah, sure. All right. And as she's on her way to do that, he's like reading out the code. The doctor comes in. He's
Neelix, like, to ruin the day again.
Yeah, he's like, Tog, you dumbass.
Ethan Phillips, you are the bane of my existence.
What do you think she's trying to do, man? You're giving her you're giving the prisoner the code. Don't do that.
You idiot.
And he's like, well, no, but she is really into me, obviously. And she's like, no, what woman would be into you? On what planet would that happen? Just, she's clearly seducing you in order to get the access code mm-hmm. to escape the ship. What are you doing? So instead of her trying to seduce Tog to get the access code, now she is in much deeper trouble because the doctor has put Loxana Troy into some like mind probe thing. So they can try to get her powers. I don't know how that works.
I don't either.
Apparently they steal powers from her mind or something.
I think they're just studying her.
Yeah. Well, the point is it could kill her.
Yes, because they don't know how any of this stuff
They have
works.
No idea how betazoids work.
When you think of those aliens from the 50s, those Roswell-era aliens who would abduct you and do
like
experiments.
Like vivisect people.
Yeah. Those are totally Ferengi.
Oh, okay.
I think, right? And that's...
Yeah.
At least that's my headcanon, where it's the Ferengi types.
It's been the Ferengi all along.
Yeah, it's always been the Ferengi. Yeah.
We just get visited by the biggest assholes in the universe.
First. And then we have to go
well,
meet
the ones
Vulcans.
That are most like us, probably.
Yeah, it's the truth.
Yeah. On Beta Zed, there's a search party looking around where they were kidnapped. And they find the flowers that Tog brought. You know, those ugly, stinking flowers.
Yeah, just like the ones you brought.
Yeah. But Data knows what they are. And he traces it to the world Lapa 4, which is a Ferengi outpost. And they're like, well, I guess we know who did this now.
Duh.
Of course. Who else would have done this? And Picard is like, well, I know if Riker's on the ship, he would find a way to get a message out, like some kind of message in a bottle to find us. So let's boost the sensors. You know, let's do everything in our power to try to intercept a message because we know we're going to get one. We just don't know what form it's going to be. Back on the Ferengi ship, Deanna has figured out what's going on because, you know, she's a telepath. And Riker is trying to get into some part of the ship that doesn't require an access code. And he finds, like, this signal dampener, undampener, It's like a very routine part of the ship that would affect nothing, so it doesn't need a password. And he like does a kind of Morse code thing.
Yeah, it's supposed to be Morse code, I think.
Right.
Or some reference to.
Yeah. And he's like, well, I'm thinking if I do a pattern that the Enterprise would pick up, maybe that'll work. Back on the ship, the Enterprise, I mean, so the Bradbury, the ship that was going to take Wesley off to his final oral examination, it's about to go. He's got to get the hell off.
Yep.
And this is while everyone is trying to crack the code. There's a lot of excitement on the bridge. And he's got to leave right in the middle of it.
Mm-hmm.
And he may not ever come back. So he turns around wistfully, looks at the bridge one last time, gets in the turbo lift. And as he's stepping up on the transporter pad, he's saying goodbye to his mom. And he has a breakthrough.
A revelation!
He's like, wait. I think something sounds familiar. Because when they were listening to the code, he was like, the pattern just sounded familiar. I think I know where Riker is. He runs back to the bridge, and Worf is telling him, hey, the Bradbury cannot wait any longer. You're either here on the bridge, or you're there on the ship taking your examination. And he's like, well, I have to solve this problem. So
I have to save Riker, Indiana!
Yeah, and they tell the Bradbury to go. And what Wesley tells him is like, play the message back. And they go through this whole thing where they're playing like this audio loop, and it is the same pattern as that Civilization 2 music that we heard at the beginning. And it's like, oh, it's the skeleton piano thing. Yes. From
play
the beginning.
Back. Play it. Play it.
DJ, play it back. Loop that shit back, DJ.
Now drop the beat.
But, yeah, so they
keep saying that. Play it back. But play it back in. Put it on loop.
What gets me, though, so they zero in on who took Riker.
Mm-hmm.
But once you find the Ferengi flowers, you know that Luxana Troi is gone. What other Ferengi do you think took her?
But I think they didn't know the location. So they now can trace that. That confirms that it's Riker.
Okay.
I guess. There's a couple logic jumps they have to go through.
Well, I'm sure that they can like find out where a signal is coming from.
Right. Right. But
yeah.
I don't know why that rhythm being made, that could be anything, but I guess it's worth it.
They know for a fact it's Riker's.
Yes.
Back on the Ferengi ship, Riker is like, he's kicking ass. He's fought that chess dude, and he sent out the message, and he comes up on the bridge with a phaser, zaps at the doctor, and the doctor backs up and stops the experiment, but then Tog gets a drop on
him. Whoa, there was one more!
Oh, yeah,
come on,
to
Riker!
Count.
How do you not know Damon Tog is there?
So Tog has a phaser. They got to do what he says, but Luxana Troi... it's actually a pretty touching scene. She like gives her life up for her daughter.
It is touching. The ending is kind of cute. I like the ending of this episode.
She's like, look, I will agree to live with Tog if that means he will let you go and let Riker go. Because no one asked for any of this, but y'all have no reason to be here. So I'll do that. And she gives her word as the daughter of the fifth house of Beta Zed. And Tog says, okay, you gave your word. And he beams Troi and Riker back onto the Enterprise. But Luxana is kidnapped still.
Yeah. Yep.
Yep.
She says she wants to be, though.
Yeah. So Picard, when he realizes what's been going on, he's still following the Ferengi ship. And they could totally blast this thing out of the sky.
Oh, yeah.
But Luxana's still on there.
Mm-hmm.
So he hails them. And he's like, okay, what's going on here? And Luxana is saying, it's over between us, Jean-Luc. I have a new lover and like all this stuff. It's really weird that she's performing this way. They mute it. And Deanna tells him, look, you know what she's doing? You got to fight for her.
Yeah.
She wants to see you fight for her. And then she will do her part to convince Tog that this isn't worth the struggle.
Yes.
And it works.
How smart!
It's a smart move.
Oh, yeah.
So they unmute it, and Picard very, like, at first it's really stilted, and he's, like, pretending to love her. He's like, I this won't do.
Yes.
And then he starts quoting Shakespeare.
Hell yeah.
He like goes into, I think it's some sonnets, some Shakespeare sonnets.
There's several of those lines that I've heard before.
I think I heard them in English class in high school.
Yeah, because I turned to you and I'm like, this is Shakespeare, right?
Yeah, it was a sonnet though.
Love by any other name is still love or something.
Yeah, shall I compare thee to a summer's day?
Yes.
And he's really feeling it. He's really going, because he may not love Loxana Troy, but he loves Shakespeare.
Yeah, exactly.
That is one thing that we know about Picard.
He does.
And then he's like, well, you know what? If I can't have Loxana, then I'm going to have to destroy your ship.
Yes! Yes! I love this ending.
And Tog is like, you never told me that he was your boyfriend.
You told me not to.
Right. And just, yeah. And then he's like, wait, what's going to happen? And then she's like, oh, Picard, don't kill him like all the others. And he's like, he killed them?
Well, yeah. And she says, Picard is extremely jealous.
Yeah. And now Picard has all the phasers pointed at the Ferengi ship.
Yep.
Tog is freaking out.
Yep.
It's counting down to zero. And just at the end of it, Loxana Troy beams back onto the vessel. Tog has given up.
Mm-hmm.
And the part that I do like, though, is at the end when Tog is like, you know, I'm sure you want, you know, we can just keep this between us, right? You know, one horn dog to another, right? He's like, oh, no, I'm telling your superiors.
Yep.
Yeah, you broke the law, dude.
You idiot.
Yeah, you will be removed from your command.
Yes.
You probably should go to jail.
Yes.
If there is some kind of Ferengi jail, I don't know.
There is.
And then he says, let's go warp 9 to Beta Zed.
Yeah, let's get Loxana back.
He wants to drop Loxana Troy off as quickly as possible. Then on the last scene, Picard is in his ready room, and Wesley comes in. And Wesley apologizes for not getting on the Bradbury soon enough. And Picard's like, you know, that's fine. You know, you had to do your mission, and you did it. And, you know, the Starfleet is, they're sorry not to have you. They're the ones that missed out, not you. Don't worry about it. You will get there soon enough. But, you know, I feel pretty bad having you here as an acting ensign, when really, you're just as much an ensign as anyone else. I mean, you led us to Riker. You've done all sorts of great stuff. So I am hereby promoting you to a full ensign. And so he's literally an officer now, not technically an officer. And then in the next scene, we see the bridge. Everyone's at their post.
Turbo lift doors open.
And Wesley is in a shiny red Starfleet uniform.
I'm not sure why it's command red.
I don't know either, because he goes to the helm.
Yeah.
And that's operations, right? Should be yellow like Data.
Yeah, shouldn't it be yellow? And then he's much more of a friend of Geordi's. He's always working on engineering stuff.
Yeah, I don't know.
It should be operations, not command.
That's what I thought. It was weird.
I'm not sure.
But, yeah, so he's an officer now.
Way to go.
And that's how the episode ends.
Yeah, pretty good episode. It's enjoyable.
Yeah, it's all right.
Yeah. Well, Patrick, this is the part of the podcast where we like to rate what we just saw. If we thought it was amazing, must watch Star Trek, we set to kill. If we thought it was pretty good, comes up in the queue, you give it a watch, it's set to stun. And if it's horrible, avoid at all costs. We leave it in the holster. So, Patrick, what'd you think?
I'm going to say set to stun.
Mm.
Okay. The B plot with the whole Academy thing, as we said, it felt kind of out of place. And, like, it wasn't that much of a mystery. You know who took them.
Mm.
And, like, everyone saw Tog be a creep to Loxana Troy. And if Loxana Troy ends up being kidnapped, you know, who do you think did that?
Right.
But I did like, you know, the intrigue of like sending the communication stuff. And I also like the relationship between Troy, Deanna Troy and Loxana in this.
Agreed.
I felt it was handled really well.
It's the most Deanna Troy we've ever seen.
And she, you know, she actually got a good chunk of an episode and where she wasn't like having horrible things happen to her. So that was nice to see.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say set to stun.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think this was supposed to be a farce or a comedy.
Like, yeah, heavy subject matter for it to be a comedy. Yeah.
And I think there's something with the translation of time, or I'm not sure, but It's definitely a lighter, the way it's edited and paced is a lighter episode of Star Trek. Right?
Yeah.
This was supposed
Which
to
is
be
weird
a
because
fun
it's like it's about romp. Sex slavery and being kidnapped.
Yeah. But it's Luxana Troi, and most of her episodes are kind of fun and silly. And,
right.
And I think that's, and then it's the Ferengi, which are pretty silly bad guys. Yeah. But something about it is a bit lost in translation. So that's why I think, for me, it is such a stun as well. It's fine. There's some very funny moments. I love the end. I think it's fantastic. Not the very, very end, but Picard reciting Shakespeare.
Oh, yeah, yeah, that's great.
Love that scene. I think that's, to me, a classic Star Trek scene, too. Something you could just play in its entirety, and it'd be very fun to watch.
And you get the idea of what the show is.
Yeah, exactly. But other than that, yeah, the shoehorned Wesley stuff. I understand why they do that, because you need Wesley to grow as a character a little bit. Wesley's not going to be with us that much longer.
Really?
Spoiler alert.
Uh-oh.
And so we need, I think we needed that character to do something, because he's kind of been just a snot-nosed kid for too long.
Right.
But, yeah, why this episode? I don't know.
Set to stun, huh?
Yep, so set to stun.
Well, before we get out of here,
I
do want to plug our Patreon again, as
What's
I do
that?
All the time. That is...
I haven't been listening. I don't listen to the end of this.
So that is another place where all of our episodes live, plus some bonus episodes if you want to, you know, throw us a few bucks a month. You will get to hear us riff on the original series.
Hell yeah.
We just did one of those episodes last week.
Yeah.
So go to patreon.com/PatTrek, and thank you to all of you that already give.
Yeah, we really appreciate it. And it has been a blast watching the original series.
Yeah.
Totally. Completely different
show. Completely different show.
Such a different show. You can also listen to The Dungeon Rats. It's an interactive dungeon crawl that I do with my friends. You can submit your monsters, plot twists, magic items, or anything else you can think of by going to thedungeonrats.com and then hearing us. And then you can hear us deal with them. We just got a really nice little write-up today.
I saw that.
Yeah.
That was a nice write-up.
Yeah, that show is has been a blast. Speaking of, I think I want to do another Star Trek Adventures.
Those are great.
The core game's out.
It is?
Yeah, the core game's done.
Is there ship battles?
I don't know. I haven't bought the book yet, but I'm about to.
All right.
And I have an idea of what I want to do.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, and I think one and only Patrick Winneger is going to be in it.
Are there Jeffrey's tubes involved?
Yes. So,
oh, hell yeah. Okay.
So hear me out. I made a tweet about this. And anybody who's listening this deep in the podcast, thank you so much. So you deserve this hot insider information that might be false because I might not end up having time to do it. But I want to. Just know the desire is there.
Okay.
So I'm a big fan of Deep Space Nine.
Okay.
I love Next Gen, but what I love about Deep Space Nine is it's the same setting and new characters coming in that you have to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
So what I want to do is a space station setting.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, with friends playing. I'm not sure who you would play, but I'm thinking you'd be like ensigns on the security team.
So I'm into it.
As stuff happens on the space station, you're the first ones to respond.
Cool.
But to make you commanders and stuff, like a normal cast, makes it kind of like you're too high up.
Yeah, no, I would love to be the incompetent security detail.
So that's what I'm thinking. And I've got an idea for the planet, the setting, everything. But it would be more of a campaign.
Okay. So
it would not just be one of these short little test adventures we did before.
Okay.
Be a little bit more involved. But don't expect that to come out anytime soon. Still have to write it. But I think I'm going to do it.
Let's see what's out there.
Peaches. Hot sauce. Peaches.